Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for Tuesday, November 20th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being on. And also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin.
Oh, hey, Kelly. Thanks for having Dave today. And me.
You're more than welcome. And we've got a couple things to talk about today. We have a couple sponsors I will talk to you about soon. The first thing that I wanted to talk about today is viruses. This is something that came up yesterday. We had a little bit of conversation about with some weird stuff happening on computers and on Macs in particular. And it seems like there's more viruses out there for macOS than there used to be.
That is true. Let's define what we mean when we say viruses, because for the most part, we're probably talking about malware.
Yes, that's true.
Hijackware, things that are trying to make money for the authors of the software, right? Mm-hmm. Things that hijack your browser and send it to the wrong place. But also, there are known pieces of ransomware, right? Where you can have some or perhaps all of your data encrypted with a key that you then have to buy for some not trivial amount of Bitcoin or something like that. So these things do exist. And it was actually interesting at Mac Tech Conference a couple of weeks ago, there were a few people that spoke talking about how widespread it is now. And I don't mean to imply that it's all over the place and everybody has malware without knowing it, but it is far more widespread now than it was, say, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just a popularity game. macOS is not any more, from a technological standpoint, macOS is certainly not any more or less secure than Windows 10, and arguably is actually less secure than Windows 10 in terms of the way protections are out there. Yeah. In fact, that seemed to become the general consensus was, it's just we've had security by obscurity because
nobody cared to release something that would do something bad to a Mac back in the day.
Correct.
Nobody cared because there were no margins in it.
There's less machines running macOS than there are running Windows, and so people target Windows more. But certainly there are plenty of instances of malware. And I have to say, from my limited but certainly representative pool of family, friends, and even clients, I'm getting, just in the last week, I had three people email me saying, my computer's doing these weird things. And it was always two different emails, right? It was one saying, hey, I need to change my homepage back to whatever, because I don't know why it got changed. And then the second email would be, I've got this plugin running and I don't know, I didn't want that running. And, it was some Chrome thing or whatever. And every time the answer was, yeah, go download Malwarebytes and run this. And then let me know if we need to talk more. And every time it was, hey, I downloaded that and ran it. It worked great. It's like, yep, I know.
Ken, let me throw in some color on this. Dave and maybe Kelly, too. You probably know I spend a lot of time with Bitcoin faucets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin faucets are
rampant with cheap, with low moral fiber ads.
Yes, it's the ad networks are all automated, and some of them do a more or less diligent job of keeping malware out. And then the big favorite game appears to be that a bad guy buys an ad with something legitimate, and then it gets approved, and then they switch it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
We see that happen. That's not just on the lowbrow ad networks. We've seen that come through on even some of the highbrow ones, but they do a much better job of staying on top of that. That's what makes them highbrow.
And you, of course, you mean remnant ad networks.
Remnant ad networks. Correct. Right. Yeah.
The ones, as opposed to people that you sell to.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. The direct sales stuff, it doesn't happen.
But of course,
the real time bidding right? Mm-hmm. Where people are just constantly, when you make an ad request, there is literally a bidding process that happens in, you know, a fraction of a second, and someone wins and gets to deliver you an ad. And that's where these types of malware people can try and spread their stuff.
So, now, is this, I know we started out talking about Macs, but is this why sometimes I will get the same sort of thing on my phone? Like, I go load up a web page and then all of a sudden it says, "Congratulations, Amazon customer," and I can't do anything unless I close the page?
Yes.
Because I get that.
And I'm seeing
on the regular now, I would say.
I am seeing that. I've experienced it myself. I helped a friend, and Dave, I think you and I once went through that, right?
Yep.
And it's they're using, like, it's shocking to me that as locked down as iOS is, that Apple in any way makes it possible for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I need to stop us here though, because we started talking about viruses, we got into talking about ads, and now we've mentioned iOS and we've conflated all of these things together for our poor listeners. There are no viruses that have been found, no malware,
no
browser hijackers that have been found for iOS as of yet.
Right.
But there are tricks that make it look
correct.
Like they have hijacked your browser.
Correct. But if you quit and close all your tabs and come back in, you're fine.
Sometimes you have to close. Sometimes you have to empty your cache.
Sure. Yes. But once you've, like, there's no persistent software that
right. They haven't actually taken over.
Gets installed.
Taken over your iOS.
Right. Correct. I just want to make that really clear.
Yeah. On iOS, what we're talking about is hassleware more than we're actually talking about something that's going to do something bad to your phone.
Where I'm going to put my foot down. We're not going to call it where. We're going to call it ads.
Okay.
No, because where sounds a lot like software.
Yeah.
And yes, everything's software, but let's not confuse the two.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I just made up hassleware because that's all it is. It's like an aggravation. It's not actually doing anything.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's just a hassle because I have to close a tab saying, or I have to restart Safari or something.
You got
but it. I like Kelly's name. I understand why Dave is wanting to put his foot down. But, yeah, but I like Kelly's name.
It sounds too close. But yeah. But on the Mac, you know, so the answer is, what should we as Mac users do?
Yes.
Right. And the answer is run something that fixes these. Now, here's the deal. Virus software that runs all the time and scans everything that you do is out there. Malwarebytes could actually do that. There are others as well that some of which work just fine, some of don't. But software that runs all the time that scans everything has a greater chance of finding malware as it comes in, because of course it's looking for it. But by its nature, software that runs all the time and scans everything has to slow down your Mac to some degree. To what degree it slows down your Mac is a function of the software, your Mac, the speed of your Mac's disk drive, and what you are actually doing with your Mac. You may not notice it at all, or it might be crippling, right? Or somewhere in between. So for most people, even today, I don't recommend necessarily having to run real-time protection all the time.
Right.
The free version of Malwarebytes lets you run a scan. It will automatically run a scan once a month, the free version of Malwarebytes will. For some people, that's going to be enough. For me, I've actually written a Keyboard Maestro script to go and run Malwarebytes once a week on Sunday mornings on all my machines. And it works great. You know, sometimes the script doesn't work quite right because it's relying on some user interface scripting. But at the very least, I have written the script so that it leaves Malwarebytes open after it finishes. So I can either say, yeah, it was, you know, scanned this morning or yesterday, or it was scanned a week ago. And what do? I click the scan button. Right. You know, it's pretty simple to get it done, but at least there's the script acts either as a fully functioning, you know, soup to nuts thing, or a reminder to go ahead and do it.
Right.
And then for me, that's enough. On my machines, I have never found one of these things. I presume it's only a matter of time. I certainly have had viruses in the past. The first virus that ever was written for a Mac with System 7, right? And we had to run disinfectant to get rid of those.
Yeah.
So this is not anything remarkably new.
No.
It's just new to many of us if you have only been using a Mac for, you know, the last 10 to 20 years, right? So, yeah. So it's okay, but you need to be diligent about it. Thankfully, the tools exist. And really, Malwarebytes right now is the easiest one for me to recommend. Mm-hmm. And so just go get it. It will run real-time protection for 30 days. You can choose whether to pay them and continue that. By that point, you will know whether it's going to negatively impact the performance of your Mac. You can turn it off before then, of course. But there you go. That's just how it works.
And it is free if you want to do, you know, like what Dave's talking about with the manual scan, where you sit down and click scan and walk away. That's a free thing that you can get from Malwarebytes. So
Correct. That's
like that part you can just sit down and do. I hesitate to call it old school, but you can go old school with that, like set a calendar reminder for Saturday mm-hmm. afternoons or something, you know, and just let the scanner scan and get it all taken care of. I finally got some of my family members to get their backups set up that way. So like you have to back up your phone every Sunday night. Just do it. I'm going to show you how to make a calendar event so that it pops up on your phone and says, back up your phone. So like even just having stuff like that happen is useful. So you do have to do a little bit of maintenance, and this is just one of those things. So make sure you get it taken care of. All right, we've got a couple of sponsors I want to talk about right now. The first is Hopsy, and Hopsy is like a Keurig but for beer. So there's this machine. It's called the Sub, and you put it on your counter, or you put it in your kitchen on your bar. If you have a bar like me, you just set it on the bar. And once you've got it set up, it just sort of sits there, and you can have a variety of beers from a variety of places, and it works really well. I set one up. It was pretty easy, and got beer out of it in very little time. Honestly, I think the part of the setup that took the longest was getting all the cardboard out of the way so that I had room to set it on the counter. And you get lots of different varieties of beers. If you're an IPA person, if you really like stout, there's lots of things that are available. And what's available to you differs because they rotate things for season, and they also rotate them for region. So as they add more beers that are available through Hopsy, you can try different lists of stuff. So I'm sure it'll shock you to know that one of the options available to me here in Portland is kombucha. So I can get kombucha out of that if I want to. And it's really easy to use. It's really easy to set up. And what I like about it is that you're basically committing to a 6-pack of beer instead of lots and lots of beer, like if you were to sign up for a keg or something. So it's much more like growler size. So it's way less commitment. You can try it out by going to tryhopsy.com/TDO, and you get the Sub machine. You get 2 cartridges of beer, which is like 2 6-packs of beer, 2 Hopsy glasses, and free membership in the monthly beer club for $99. Terms and conditions apply, but that site again is tryhopsy, tryhopsy.com/TDO. And our next sponsor.
I think they have to use coupon code TDO along with that.
Ah, okay. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. That's okay.
So, go check it out. It's pretty great. And our second sponsor today is Eve Energy from Elgato. And you guys know I'm a smart home nerd. And this is a super great device. And it actually solves one of my favorite problems, which is not one of my favorite problems. One of the most common problems, one of the ones I like to talk about the most, is having to have a hub for everything. And the Eve Energy doesn't need a hub. It gives you the opportunity to run all of your HomeKit stuff either by hooking it up to HomeKit, and you can use the S-Lady to do it. You can hook up to Amazon setup if you're Team A-Lady. You can do it that way. And you can set appliances to come on and off when you need them to, like lights or the coffee maker. And you can monitor all of the electricity that all of those devices are using as well. It's really great. And you can set it all up to even take a peek at that stuff when you're not home. And you can also set it up so that it uses occupancy in your house. So you don't even have to be there and you don't have to leave a bunch of instructions for somebody who's staying with you in order to make all that stuff work. It just sorts itself out. And you can find out more and get your own at evehome, evehome.com. And you should check it out. It's pretty great. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is the stock market, which I know sounds not super interesting, but we got Brian here to talk about it. So Brian, I'd like to have you take us to stock school, because all I'm hearing right now is a whole lot of stuff about how Apple has stopped reporting iPhone sales numbers and now everything in the stock market is terrible.
If you're seeing that somewhere, just ignore it.
Okay.
Because that's just silly.
Sweet. I guess play the theme music and we're out, right,
Kelly? All right. Have a good day, everybody. Yeah. It's been fun. We'll see you tomorrow.
No, here's the thing. Apple stock is not doing well. As a matter of fact, let me see here. I have E-Trade open. What are we at here? 181, and it was at a high of 233.
Okay.
So it has definitely fallen, and some of that is Apple's own doing.
Okay.
And most of that is the end is nigh doom and gloom with the stock market in general tanking.
Okay.
Apple is not causing the stock market to tank.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is Apple's on a Black Friday sale. That Apple shares have gotten super cheap for Black Friday. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about Apple stock. If you believe that Apple has new product categories that are going to come out, Apple's stock is ridiculously cheap.
Okay.
If you believe that Apple is a one-trick pony and that, you know, iPhone was it and they don't have anything else to replace it and they're not doing anything new and there's, you know, the Tim Cook always talks about the deep pipeline and he's just lying. Apple's stock is probably still overpriced because we've seen everything that Apple's going to do. And Wall Street, generally speaking, only cares about what it knows.
Right.
They might make bets on what they don't know. Right. But Apple, you know, Apple, like no one is expecting something new coming from out of Apple. And the bit about some of this being Apple's own fault, Apple doesn't want to report numbers. Apple doesn't want to report anything. Of course, most companies don't want to report anything, but Apple sort of gets away with it. And what we're seeing is Apple made a big bold bet that they don't have to report iPhone numbers. Mm-hmm. Everyone's interpreting this as that's because your iPhone numbers are not looking great unless you're only worried about your average selling price. So, you know, we think that there's some poop underneath the smell, and that's Apple's own fault.
Yes.
Apple can't say we're not going to tell you anything and then, you know, not expect there to be some kind of consequences unless, of course, they keep heaping good results. But then you've got supply chain leaks and you've got people maybe trying to manipulate the market with scare stories about how iPhone orders are tanking. It, like, you know, every mm-hmm. single time we get these stories coming out of the supply chain where Apple has you know, cancel orders and reduced orders and reduced expectations and all these things, they never pan out, but it still plays out in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. And we always see this, like, with the earnings call, because Apple never makes all the money. Apple only ever makes almost all the money. And so every time there's an earnings call, there's like a little tiny dip.
Apple's all the money is not growing like it used to.
Okay.
And Wall Street, generally speaking, does not care about what a company did yesterday.
Okay.
They only care about what Apple is going to, it's about what a company is going to do in the next 90 days.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the next week. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, the stock price is based on future predictions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very much so. That's how it works.
And yeah. Wall Street bestows value based on those expectations.
Right.
So when Apple does or does not hit those expectations, it is a very reasonable reaction for Wall Street to then give or take away value.
Okay.
And a lot of Apple fans do not get that.
Right.
They think that Apple's stock price is some sort of objective truth at any given moment, and that Wall Street is ignoring that objective truth. Mm-hmm. But all of the value comes from Wall Street. All of it.
Of Apple stock.
No.
Of all stocks.
Right.
Of all stocks.
Well, of all stocks, but specifically the one we're talking about is Apple stock, because like Apple still made whatever money Apple made, and that doesn't have anything to do with share prices. Like if Apple sold a bajillion phones last quarter and made $10 bajillion as a result, sorry to get all technical with the math here, but if that's what happened, Apple did that anyway, and that doesn't have anything to do with what Wall Street did or did not like about Apple did or didn't do.
I don't know, Dave, how do you feel about this number? Like for Apple in particular, 10% of the stock price is what Apple just did, and the other 90% is expectations for the future.
That's probably right.
I mean, you know,
I've never stopped and thought about it, but I think that's probably true. That's probably true of most companies. I mean, there might mm-hmm. be some where it gets a little closer to 50-50, but I can't imagine any publicly traded company
Amazon, where it's like -2% what they did yesterday and 1,000% of what they're going to do in 6 years from now.
Well, that's correct.
Like, let's use Amazon as an example.
I can't imagine it going. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's measure with Amazon's yardstick here. Amazon never comes out and says how many Kindles they sold or phones. You know, remember they sold those for like 20 minutes.
But tiny drop in the bucket of what Amazon does.
Right.
The difference between Amazon not reporting that and what Apple is not reporting is that it's almost all of what Apple does.
Right.
And so it, that shakes confidence is what that did and does. And therefore, without confidence, the stock price is based on a degree of confidence, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. we're talking about predicted future value. I am confident it's going to be worth, you know, lots of money. Oh, I'm not all that confident that it's going to be. Like, I don't know. They just told us things were going to be more nebulous. Mm-hmm. That's probably bad news. Better get our money out now, right?
Yeah, and Apple's very, very modus operandi of not talking about anything and not offering a roadmap and, you know, trying to keep everything secret despite leaks out of the supply chain. That entire business model is completely antithetical to having Wall Street have confidence in what you're doing.
Yeah, Apple would be better off in that sense, from their R&D sense, would be better off not being a public company. And in many ways, yes, they kind of act like they're not a public company.
Yes.
Right? Like, in all the ways except for that listing on Wall Street, they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's
we're not going to tell you what's coming, you know, unless it's a week out. We're not going to tell you what's coming down the line. We're not going to tell you what we're doing 6 months from now. We're not going to make things generally on a regular schedule so that you can plan. Like, none of that stuff is stuff that Apple does.
It's the job of a publicly traded company's CEO to increase shareholder value. That mm-hmm. is the one job, right?
Yes.
That's it. Your job description.
From right? a legal standpoint.
From a legal standpoint, correct. Mm-hmm. And it's odd that Apple has operated the way they have. I mean, I don't want to say that Tim Cook doesn't take that as part of his job, but there are many times where he leaves that behind for the day and mm-hmm. just and of course, you know, Jobs was famous for that. But people had confidence in him anyway because he had a track record that, you know, was unparalleled. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I do want to highlight one thing, Brian, because you said earlier that, you know, Apple has gone down, but all of the stock market has gone down and Apple did not bring the stock market down. The New York Times doesn't necessarily agree with you. right. Well, I mean, they're saying that, you know, this big sell-off is led by Apple, Amazon, and Facebook, right? That's what's actually been driving confidence in the market in general down. So, and they've been saying that, you know, yesterday and today. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Well, it's But it's not. It's certainly not Apple alone. And I don't
correct.
Even, and right. the issues facing Google are different from the issues facing Facebook, which are different from the issues facing mm-hmm. Apple right now.
Yeah,
like Facebook is just a big pile of mess right now.
Yes.
For a whole bunch of reasons that have very little to do with their ability to sell ads.
Right.
Right. It's how they sell ads, but that's
not. But Google, Apple, and Amazon are like, take Facebook out of it, but you can't really take Facebook out of it, right? Because they're all right there and all yeah. had losses that you know, precipitated this market mm-hmm. sell off. So
and there are also, I mean, we've also had a very long period of growth. In the yep. markets, very long period of growth in the markets. And on top of that, there are some broader macroeconomic issues like so Apple to Dave's point, Apple and Fang, which is Facebook, Amazon, Google and what's
it? Netflix.
So Netflix. Thank yeah. you. Yeah, it's Netflix. Those companies may well have been a catalyst, but it's not. But it's not the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay. Dave? I'm going to read into Dave's silence and say he disagrees with me, and I'm not sure exactly quite what I'm wanting to say. But
are you saying that correlation does not mean causation?
Correlation seldom means causation,
right? But are you saying in this instance correlation does not mean causation?
I think that it may well have. Started something, but yeah. isn't, but it's not the root cause. It could well have been something else.
Yeah. I'd say I'm not,
because Apple still makes money. Apple still makes a crap ton of money.
Correct. It's just, yeah. But again, the price of the stock is based on how much money we think they're going to make in the future, not how much they made yesterday or how much they make today. Right. I mean, some of it is, and you proposed a 10 to 90 split on that. And this, there is some split on that, right? Whether it's 10 to 90 or 40 to 60 mm-hmm. or 5 to 95, we don't know. But, I think they do take some of the blame, because again, going back to the fact that the market is based largely upon sentiment, when you have the, you know, four big or five, well, Netflix hasn't been mentioned. So the four big companies, four mm-hmm. of the big companies that drag things up and were seen as, you know, the bellwethers of the whole thing mm-hmm. as they tank. It's like, are we now finally reaching the end of this bull market? Like, it stands to reason that would be the thinking, because that's pretty short-sighted, and that's how it works. I don't say that to be snarky, although it certainly sounds that way. But that's just, you know, all it takes is a little bit of shaken confidence and, you know, things just crater.
Yeah.
Just like we've seen.
Yeah. And I think part of it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, people see the market goes down a little bit and then more people sell, and then more people see the market went down and more people sell. And, you know, they tell two friends and, you know, here we are.
Right. That's how it works.
Yeah. If it helps, Apple stock went down another $2 while we were talking.
I have no doubt.
I'm not sure what that helps, but okay.
It's tanking. Yeah. Well, I mean, what the New York Times again today, but I mean, it's just true. They say we've basically wiped out all the 2018 gains mm-hmm. as of this moment. Whether yeah. that will turn around before December 31st, obviously.
And,
you know, there you go.
Goldman was piling on today, slashing Apple's target price from 209 to 182.
Oh, fantastic.
So that was this morning, and they basically say that, you know, Apple's, like, the iPhone XR is not a success. It's the wrong price and the wrong feature set, and China is a trouble spot for Apple too.
Huh.
All right. Well, on that happy note, I think we're going to have to go ahead and call it there, but stay tuned for further editions of Brian Takes the Rest of Us to Stock Market School.
Yeah, I think this was Brian and Dave taking us to stock market school.
Yeah, well, we started with you and then so we'll yeah I enjoy for looking forward to further editions of Brian and Dave Go to Stock Market School, so I hope that we can have this conversation again soon. Brian, thanks so much for coming and taking us to Stock Market School today.
Oh, indeed, thanks for having us,
and
good to be here.
Thank you, Dave, for coming on and also talking to us about Malwarebytes.
Yeah, it's nice to know that at least one of the topics that we talked about today was one where I was able to give advice that I know is actually going to come to fruition. So there you go. Thanks for having me.
Go give everybody a copy of Malware Bytes for Christmas. There you go.
You got it.
Yeah. And then your shopping will be done. And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This has been the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Until then, be excellent to each other.